hats for bats.
The voodoo just continues, guys. It's a wrap. That's right. That is. Oh, voodoo continued last night. And it was simultaneous voodoo. Do you have your blood necklace on?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know David sacrificed the chicken? Unbelievable. Last night.
I thought I saw the bucket, that KFC bucket.
You could sync up two televisions. Riley Green, as he's hitting a home run to take the lead, the Twins are twinning and spitting the bit again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Twins get the lead, proceed to pitch a guy I've never heard of, leave him out there to die, and as the game closes, they were putting a chalk outline around him on the mound in extras. And again, you don't have to figure it out. That is the one thing, is like people get very annoying that are like trying to figure it out or playing pretend. No, I'm going to keep it classy today. But you have a question. No, I'm going to keep it classy. We got what we got. No. There's one guy claiming he knew this was going to happen, but I'm not going to go there. I'll just tell you, here is the rarity. Here's the gravity this run has reached. You can do with this what you want. What you can't do is say you expected it. Because I ain't here for that. Tigers, 55-63 on August 10th. Okay? 55-63, August 10th. There has been only one team in the history of Major League Baseball, over 120 years, the history of Major League Baseball, who has made the playoffs being at least 8 games under on August 10th. The 1973 Mets.
Oh.
If you make it, you will be the second team in the history of the oldest professional sport in this country to do it. It's reached that level. It's, you just go with it. We joked yesterday. They assassinated the Little Caesars mascot, yeah, hung him upside down, drained his blood, put the necklaces on. You just go with it. And what's happening today? Same deal.
Yeah.
This is my thing, though, Rico. The FanGraphs, we started talking about it over 2 weeks ago, that I didn't believe what FanGraphs was saying mathematically because it doesn't factor in the human element. The Minnesota Twins are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Look at them out there. Right. They have less excitement to be out there than we have to be here.
They don't put the choke element in there. And that's what it is. You're right. It's just numbers. You put it in the computer, and the computer tells you, well, it has to be this. But the human element says, no, this team is choking. This team is playing bad. This team no longer believes in itself anymore. And that's what we see. And that's why I was just like, I don't care about
the numbers. I also don't think FanGraphs factors in that Minnesota's manager, Rocco Baldelli, IQ might be like 46. Maybe 10. So here's the question. Rico's question. Please, delight the masses.
Well,
knowing the context of what we're in, that's the only reason I gave the power stat.
Right.
Now, Rico, who, by the way, is in athleisure wear today. I mean, a very, Rico, real freedom of movement today for Rico. Should be a very exciting show. Go ahead. Athleisure.
I will simply say this.
Athlico.
It's voodoo. It's voodoo. Everything is happening right now. My question for Tigers fans is this. If for some reason they do not make the playoffs, was it worth the ride? Was it worth everything that you are going and experiencing right now? Would you be angry? Would you, or is it house money? And you just say, you know what? I'm good with this. It was fun because we got meaningful games in September. How long have you been saying that? Or are you just one of those people that, kind of how Kenny was, I don't want to be hurt. Just go ahead and die in August, and we can move on to football. 248-539-9797.
Hell yes, it's worth it. One team in history has ever done it. The fact that you're in the conversation to be number two when you were basically a rancid corpse for most of the year and you sold at the deadline. Yeah. And you're doing it with a bunch of people who largely won't be here or who have no pedigree.
Right.
I mean, let's be real about it. Yeah, you've got your core on offense, and you've got Scooble, and if you want to add Montero, but, like, the run has been built around, you know, Stevie Salmon. He's like, who? Look, for me, yes, across the board, yeah, it's worth it, because it's September baseball, and although, unlike the television broadcast, I'm not breathing deeply into the television, panting like Mel Gibson.
Personal growth.
I just, for me, yeah, it's absolutely worth it, because what did they give us all summer? Stugatz.
Right.
Hell yes, man.
I look at this. If you think about it, this is the third time in 3 years the city of Detroit's gone through this. You went through it with the Lions, with a bunch of guys at the time. We weren't chanting Jared Goff's name. They were 1-6. They had a chance to make the playoffs. Everything had to fall their way. They fell short. They built upon that. Last year, in real time, we watched the Wings not make the playoffs, but went down to the last game. You're hoping they build upon this. To me, absolutely this is worth the ride, because we got to see what the core is probably going to be. You know what pieces that you need to add, and you get to jumpstart into next year. Anything that they do, it's house money. I'm cool with this, because I wasn't expecting this. Mike, you gave that number. I didn't think they had any shot at this. I'm hoping, can you at least get to 500? That was the goal. And now you're playing some of your best baseball while everybody in front of you is just falling down left and right. So I absolutely think it's worth the ride. I don't care. I want them to make it.
I guess my question to the people would be, if it's not worth it, why watch sports?
Well, yeah, it's like, not to pick on Kenny, but a lot of people just don't want the hurt. It's like,
yeah, but that's different. We were the Twins of hockey. That's different. I think it's way different losing from ahead than being the one on the chase. The chase mitigates the expectation. It's more hope. When you're ahead, like when the Wings were 9 points clear,
right,
or when the Twins are sitting there and it's August 10th and the Tigers have a 0.01% chance of the playoffs, Riga, that's just me.
No.
I'd much rather be in this position. Nobody believes in us. Who cares? Rock and roll.
Right, because that's how I see it. Because to me, this is everything that we want. Now you can build upon this. Now you see what you have. Man, go out there, lock up, turn Fetter into your Ben Johnson, and make sure he never leaves this organization, because I think that's his equivalent right now. But, yeah, Tigers fans out there, if they don't make the playoffs, and let's hope that they do, but if they don't, was it worth the ride? 248-539-9797.
I'm not going to derail your topic because it's so excellent and it's well set up, but I'm going to talk to you about something during the break that ESPN just did that makes me want to smash a chair. That's all.
Oh.
So just off here.
You know what? Take this chair. I don't like it.
That's okay. It's just a side issue of kind of like...
Hey, but as you like to say...
Can that network go out of business already?
We're here to six.
I know. Too bad Nick Marsh isn't. 248-539-9797. More on that later, because my vibes are ruined for Saturday night. I don't know what computer needs to be fired at Fangraphs, because I don't think actual people work there. But can you just fire the supercomputer? Like, put the computer in a box at Fangraphs? How are they still listing 36% for the Tigers now? You know why? Because computers can't watch the Minnesota Twins.
Yep. That's it. For computers, Mike, it's X's and O's. That's it. Ones and zeros, whatever data you put in there. It's why we supposedly like computers, because they're unbiased. They can't see what's going on. They can't be tainted by the real world. But real world, it's different.
Or, yeah, like the real world, there's things you have to calculate, like losing your best wide receiver before a night game at Boston College. David, how about some ticket text coming in?
I'd be disappointed, but it's definitely worth it. Watching the young guys play well and watch people care about the Tigers again is definitely worth it. If they don't make it, I'll be upset, because I invested again 2 weeks ago. But it's basically playoff experience for the young guys, so yes, it's worth it. Nate in Royal Oak. Absolutely.
So Nate's upset, but it's worth it.
Correct.
Okay.
Interesting combo.
All right. Okay.
Absolutely worth it. We haven't had meaningful games in a while. Last time the Tigers made the playoffs, I was 11, 21 now. Send it and see where we go.
I mean, the reality is, unless you're one of the three, four best teams in baseball, all you can really ask for is to be involved in mid-September. It's a slog. And I know this isn't a nuanced opinion, and I apologize if you expect better of me, but it really is as simple as the Twins look exhausted. They look tired, and they're very flat. And I watch them, and I don't see an energy about them. And with the Tigers, they're a bunch of young kids. They don't know no better. Most of these dudes didn't play most of the year, and there's an energy to it. And at this time of year, Reek, there's value to that. They actually care.
It is. I mean,
the Twins look like they just want to go home.
Yeah.
The Twins look like a collection of Odyssey employees. They just want to go home.
Okay. I was going to say they just look like they want to quit.
They look like Florida State. We don't want to play football no more.
Can we hit the reset button? Absolutely. This is not going the way that we wanted it to. How quickly can we get to the offseason? You're right, for the Tigers. But every little thing that happens, they're seeing. I think they're making their own luck. They're making voodoo. Their own breaks.
Voodoo. It's Joe Boo.
Yeah.
Let's go to Aubrey, 97.1. What's up, Aubrey?
Hey, guys. Here's my take on this. One, look, I'm happy that they're making a nice run. But frankly, I feel a bit cheated. And the reason I feel cheated is, you know, Mike, you said it a couple of weeks ago. The Tigers have had a nice run. But for them to make the playoffs, they'd have to have like a 35-5 run. And it didn't seem plausible. So you lost that energy of a real playoff chase where day in and day out, every game mattered. You know, one day you wake up, you're 8 games under .500, you're 10 back, and then all of a sudden you're 8 back, then you're 5 back, and you're like, okay, that's nice. But you never, not me, never really believed that they were going to get this done. Now you wake up, today you're half game back with a chance to be in front. I like the energy of day to day. Every game absolutely matters, as opposed to waking up and all of a sudden you've got a playoff game or a playoff berth.
Yeah, because I think what people are missing is, even with you getting hot, if the Twins were just slightly below .500, you're nowhere close. But the it's the inverse. You got white hot, they got ice cold, and then both have sustained. And you're right, it's happened violently. Like where you go from 10 games out to like here. And look, part of it is we started 2 weeks ago talking about, look, your odds are better than Fangraphs. Here's why. And it's always been more about the Twins than you, because you can play this level of baseball and not meaningfully cut into a deficit if the other team is treading water.
Exactly.
It required the Twins to throw themselves ass first into a wood chipper.
There you go. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, I'm still enjoying it because we have a business to run and, well, this is good for business. But, yeah, no, it's not traditional. That's why I said one team in the history of baseball on August 10th being 8 games or more below has made it. 1973 Mets. You're trying to become the second. So, yeah, I'm not mad at anyone if you, quote, missed out on the party and woke up and went, wait, you're like Reggie Bush in the Heisman house, frozen solid. What did I miss? Well, a lot. Go to Roger, 97.1. Roger, what's going on?
I think it's 100% worth it. I mean,
amen.
To be corny and quote Shawshank Redemption, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things. And it's been fun as hell every night to hope that the fucking Twins lose and the Tigers win.
Whoa!
I had both games on last night. And
Language. Pumped up, you're excited. Okay. Big yikes. Very casual with that.
Extremely.
Sorry, language. Spicy. Wow. We'll just say it wasn't just the Twins. There was a descriptor there. Okay. We'll go to Adam, 97.1. Adam, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. So I want to preface what I'm saying with I am really enjoying finally having the Tigers play relevant baseball for the first time in almost a decade. I've loved this team since I was a little kid. I've only been to Michigan one time. I don't live in Michigan, but I love this team for some reason. Don't know why. But I do need to admit, if they don't pull this off, I don't think it's worth it, because it's only going to give this front office more ammo to say, we don't need to spend because the core's here. I don't want to look at this team again next year and feel like they haven't made meaningful progress towards growing or becoming a legitimate contender to win the American League pennant and a World Series, because I want to win a World Series. The Tigers haven't won a World Series in my lifetime, and that's what I want. I feel like, as fun as this is, if they don't pull this off or make a deep, meaningful playoff run, if they do make it, we're just going to see more of the same from the front office and Scott Harris. And that, was it really worth it if we're not making steps towards winning a World Series? You could argue it goes either way, whether they make it or not. But
what if they're not?
Continue coming back to that.
What if they're not correlated? I mean, what if by being in it, it proves the core is here, and then they do? Like, for instance, here's where I'd be satisfied. You pay Skubal, you buy out Baez, and you sign one high-level bat that we all look at each other and go, that helps us. Mm-hmm. Now, if they do those three things, is that good enough for you?
Absolutely, for sure. Like, all I'm saying is I want to make meaningful progress towards not just being a fringe playoff contender. I want to be a World Series contender. I know that's not realistic this year, but like, all I'm saying is I don't want to do this or not do this and see them trot out the exact same garbage we've been handed the last couple of years.
Like, I totally agree, and it's why I had such an issue with what Benetti did on our airwaves on the morning show. I just don't know where you'd put a bat here. It was the most ridiculous thing in the world, Adam.
Yeah, I heard that segment yesterday, and I even told Kenny when I called, that's exactly what made me think of this. Like, I don't want more of that nonsense. I want to be seeing this team going back to the World Series and finally winning one. Like, I'm 28, and I've never seen this team win a World Series. I'm not expecting it this year. I'm having fun, but I just want to take steps forward. Whether they pull this off or not,
yep,
that's all.
Amen. So, Adam, I'm with you. I just don't want to be the deflator now. I want to give them the opportunity to show me. And I've said that all year. Like, while people, hold on one second, while Jim Costa's over here, strike two for Scott. I'm like, guys, here's the deal. I'll know what I need to know about Scott Harris in the major league level. Development-wise, no qualms. I understand what he's attempting to do in the minor leagues, which is a seed change. Mm-hmm. But what I said is, this offseason will tell me everything I need to know. Yeah. So I'm going to stick to that. I do have breaking news for you. May I, before you respond? This is important. Twins have a two-run double in the fifth. Twins are up 2-1. I repeat, the Twins are up 2-1. Now, here's the good part. Everybody calm down. The Twins bullpen consists of Rico. Wow. That's how bad the pen has been for the Twins. It's going to be okay. But two, they just took the lead over the Guardians, top five. Man on second, one out. And it may have, was it Willie Castro who just hit that ball? Oh, dear. Go ahead. Now, what were you saying?
I was about to say. Before
you warm up for the Twins.
Yeah. You know, I'll be in there in the seventh inning.
You'd be no worse than the garbage they're trotting out there.
I think I can go 1, 2, 3. Because it's not like, you know, Sweeney's going to end up being the all-star shortstop next year. So, yeah. You're not the whole, where are we going to put the people? It was disingenuous. You were.
No, it's not.
I feel like you were just lying to the people.
He's besties with Scott. Hey, disingenuous. He's towing the company line because that's what they're selling.
All right. But going back for a couple days ago, I'll worry about that later. I am focused on the now.
Scott just texted me. He likes curly fries too. An actual line I heard on a broadcast.
That's why I can't get angry at you right now. That's why, as they're tasting great pins.
Thank you. So I will let it unfold. I can be both thrilled that they're in the mix, but do I believe that all of a sudden progression's going to be linear? It wasn't linear this year. It's not linear.
No.
And that everyone will just grow old together and we can have the 28th payroll and it'll all be okay. No, because history tells you have to spend to win.
Yeah.
So show me this offseason. In the here and now, let's just see what they can do.
Yeah, because I'm with Adam. You can't bring this team back and expect this same voodoo. Because
there's nowhere to put good free agents.
I don't think that this happens again. This is catching lightning in a bottle. Use this to all of a sudden attract yourself to other people who say, you know what? Maybe I want to go play for Detroit because they're up and coming. I don't even think you got to break the bank.
Is suggesting, because some people are going to freak out, so I'm going to do this purposefully. I want people who can't pick up sarcasm and actually get upset to be upset. I want to ruin their day. Rico wants Juan Soto. Let's do it.
And Pete Alonso, both of them.
700 mil. and all the crazy puffs he can eat and whatever leftover Bit-Bits are in a storage closet.
Hey, remember, I was the one that said go get a certain two-way player.
Hey, Toronto tried.
Right. Make them say
hey,
no.
Hey, we got nowhere.
That was the only time you ever told me, no, we're not doing
that. We got nowhere to put them. Signed, JB.
Right. Well, where would you put Ohtani?
Got nowhere to put. Where would I put him? Most ridiculous thing in the world. I'm not asking anybody to attack anybody. I'm not asking for you to attack your employer. But for the love of God, can we avoid the Jim Jones Kool-Aid routine, please?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where am I going to put him? Hey, David, you want Jalen Ramsey? Nah, I got nowhere in my secondary form.
Yeah.
I got Artie Burns. Carry on.
Yeah, somebody gifts you a Mercedes. You put the family car out to pasture.
I couldn't possibly get Juan Soto. I'd put, checks notes, Alex Verdugo out of a job. I mean, just get good players, man. Oh, no, where will Brett Gardner play? David on the ticket text. Fangraph still sitting at 36%. You know Rico and I disagree with it. The voodoo is strong. Twins, very long top of the fifth here, but the Twins are up 2-1. They've got men on first and second, 2-2 count, two outs. I'll let you know what takes place. But we're talking about, let's say they fall short. Would there be any level of pain, any level of regret? My answer is no, because ultimately, all you can ask for in this sport is to be alive in September and have a shot. And for a team that was so bad and so hard to watch for so much of this season, they wasted three. At one point, all three guys were pitching Cy Young level. Skubal, Flaherty, Olsen. For them to be in this spot, and only the second team in MLB history, if they pull this off, to be eight games under on August 10th? Nah, I wouldn't be mad at all. That's by the way, Twins blow 2-1. They're out of the inning.
It's funny because I was 69 was the miracle Mets, right?
Yeah.
Because I thought 73, I was like, wait, it wasn't the 69 Mets? Wow. Good pull by you.
Oh no, it's stats and info. That is not me. That's Evan Jenkins.
Stats and info. That's just Mike sitting on his back patio.
Yeah, exactly. David, ticket text and I'll get to the people.
Lots of fun, Rico. I stopped listening in July, started again after the deadline to hear what the kids would do. Yes, this is fun. Mike, another reason Fangraph's potential percentages aren't accurate is it's based on a snapshot in time and not a moving average of the performance. Enjoy the ride, though.
Well, I'm with
Bob
you.
Bob and Shelby.
Yeah, I just... The Twins are hopeless.
Babs from a truck in South Lyon says, this is not a fun ride, especially if they don't make the playoffs. Waste of my time.
That's terrible.
Wow.
If that's your approach, I don't know why you watch sports, to be honest with you.
AC from Moreau says, it's worth it anytime you exceed expectations and gain experience. However, my expectations will be adjusted now come next year, including spending on some big bats.
This year, I said 85 wins, and I thought they'd fall short of the wild card by a few games. Now, they sure as hell didn't take the route that I thought they would take. The point I will make to you is, there is no scenario where the expectation is not win the Central next year. There's nothing else. It's just like the Lions last year. You just missed. We're winning the North. Scott Harris and company's job is to win the Central next year, period. So, yeah, they have shown enough down the stretch here, voodoo aside.
Yeah.
It's go time, man. The Twins made the playoffs last year and cut $30 million in payroll. You don't think they could use $30 million in relievers right now? $30 million in starting pitching?
Just $30 million in new blood.
Right, so the Twins, it seems like they're going on the cheap. The Guardians never spend. The White Sox are the worst team in bleeping baseball. Royals are going to be a little bit of a problem, right, clearly. But I'm just saying, like, it's okay to have expectations because of what they're doing now.
And see, I would even go a step further. Just in case, let's just say Kansas City does some miraculous stuff next year and they're just the hottest team in baseball. You know what? You're securely in that first wild card spot. If you cannot win the division,
sure,
you're right there. You're in there. We don't have to worry about any games because you're in the playoffs.
Yes, all of that. Yeah, David, go ahead.
From Ryan, it's fun watching these guys have fun. They're hanging on the rail the entire game and celebrate every win like they won the World Series. This has definitely been worth it for me.
You know what, David? And it's funny, and it's no disrespect to the team, but based off what he said, it's almost like you're watching the Little League World Series, where they're having fun. They're just out there, and they believe, and you see that hot team come from nowhere, and yeah, they're just doing the silly stuff, and they're like big kids right now, and that's, I think they're loose. They're ready to win because they don't feel the pressure.
Is it wrong that I wouldn't have any heartbreak if they miss it? That they'd done enough? That their odds were so long anyways? Like, look, if they don't do it, it's probably just more of a byproduct of the Twins not going 1-9 in the last 10. Like, it's not going to be the Tigers' fault. They will have been one of the hottest teams in baseball. They will have established, clearly, a bullpen, maybe found a starter in Montero, and some of the kids will have a place here next year. Yeah. Like, that is a win. And if they finish, Rico, let's say they finish, I mean, not like, oh, I said 85 at the start of the year. Who cares what I said at the start of the year? But if they finished with 85 wins, I would never call that a failure.
No. Mike, the only thing that would upset me is if this team gets swept or loses 2 out of 3 to the White Sox, and that keeps them out.
That can't. That's an
impact. No. That is right. That is the only thing that can upset me.
How dare you put that in the universe?
No, I'm not, Mike. I said that's the only thing that could upset me. Fangraphs has that at 0.000%.
Only thing that would upset me is Nick Marsh not playing Saturday. You've managed to accomplish that, so thanks.
That's not me.
Thanks a lot.
That's not me.
Whatever. Thanks to his kneecap or whatever's wrong. Damn it.
It's not me.
Aaron in Garden City says,
there's rumors.
Come on, Mike. Rico is better than the Twins bullpen. Put some respect on his name. Not his fault. He was blacklisted from the All-Star team at age 12.
Listen, the Twins bullpen is the equivalent of Tito Jackson. Cutscene. Dead.
Okay, I didn't know where you were going. That okay. All right, I get it.
What, talentless? That too.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going.
He was the backbone of the Jacksons.
Sure he was.
Making a point. I don't think he was getting anybody out in the ninth, and sure as hell isn't today.
That's so wrong.
What?
Just do something. Tito slander. Man's dead. He just caught a stray.
Life moves on. What are you going to do?
Have a feeling this year's Tigers are going to be the 2022 Red Wings. Close, but just miss it.
See, the Red Wings broke you. Because you were in the pole position. You were the one with the 80% playoff odds. You were 9 points clear. And you ended up in a spot where you're sitting here, oh, please don't pull the goalie. No, put the goalie back. You're begging. And you're sitting here going, how does this dog bleep voodoo team, capitals, how are their goal differentials minus 483? How are they doing it? The Tigers are the Capitals.
Why do we have to rehash? We don't have to rehash this, okay?
But you know what, Kenny? The funny thing is,
did you just see Buffalo lobbed an offer sheet at Sider?
Sider just got signed, Mike.
I'm kidding.
He just got signed. Let me have my moment. Damn it.
Yeah, he was very excited in the break. Oh, he was. He was very happy.
Did he go full Benetti?
Yeah. Yeah. His son got signed.
You never go full Benetti, okay?
Not if you have decency.
No, I think you're right, Mike, because I think this is, it's house money because fans aren't looking back as like, oh, well, if you would have just won this game, you'd have just won that game. They're just focused on the now. Whereas with the Wings, yep, it was, you blew this game. You went out to the desert. You couldn't beat one of the worst teams in the league. It was so many different things, the missed opportunities. Whereas now, it probably helped that they weren't on TV for a while, but.
Big moment going on right now. Kenny, you may want to take the commercial break and go watch this. Man on first, two outs. Twins are up 2-1. Manzardo's up for the guards. He is killing this team this week, and he's 2-for-2 today with a home run. Here's your voodoo.
Okay.
He goes deep while I'm doing a read or something. That's how the voodoo works.
So we just break in with the voodoo chant?
No, I don't think you have to. It's implied.
Oh, okay.
Blood necklaces.
Okay.
I think it's implied. 248-539-9797. Voodoo, absolutely in place. Because nothing spells relief like Cole Irvin. One of the worst pitchers in baseball. All right, little timeout. We've always got to touch the table, a little bit of football. I have a bad feeling the way Rico is fidgeting over there in his athleisure wear. This is going to be a Rico blitz. So be aware, David, there could be receipts. Hit the button.
Well, you know what? We like this so much, we brought it back for another week. Mike, not receipts, so to say, but I guess kind of a little bit of receipts because what we're going to do, top 10 quarterbacks in week two of the NFL.
And listen to what he says before you slander him on Ticket Text. This is a week-to-week performance of the week with some eye on overall performance for a season. So don't freak out when things change quickly.
Right. All right, go ahead. If a low-level quarterback has the game of his life.
Right. Number 10, Daniel Jones. Okay, on to number 9.
Daniel Jones actually made the honorable mention. Believe it or not.
Hey, did we win?
No.
Keep
but
going.
There are losing quarterbacks in the top 10. He was an honorable mention, but I thought you were going to be thinking I was taking a shot at you.
I would have. Now, who's number 10?
At number 10 is Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, 12 for 19, 185 yards, one touchdown, one interception, but led his team in Detroit, hostile territory, and basically upset the Lions. They were almost a touchdown underdog. He came into Detroit to get it done. At number 9, here is a quarterback who did lose, but he put up big numbers. Brock Purdy, 28 of 36, 319 yards, one touchdown, one interception, but they lose to Minnesota at Minnesota 23-17.
David, do you want to stop this freight train or no?
I think I'm good so far.
You're good?
I think I'm good so far, yes. Okay.
Had Baker put up better numbers, I would have put him ahead, but he basically, I put him at 10 because he led the drive, he ran it in, got the touchdown. At 8, it's a name that just keeps popping up, Gardner Minshew.
He was great.
He was.
You know, but the Ravens giving up the most passing yards in the entire NFL?
I have not.
Crazy, right?
Wow, I guess that defense is not what I thought it was. 30 of 38, 276 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and the upset win over the Baltimore Ravens, 26-23.
Yeah, he was excellent. What I like about it, too, as far as the ranking, man, you got to put the ball in the air 40 times in the National Football League. It's dangerous territory. He did a hell of a job.
At number 7, Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud, 23 of 36, 260 yards, one touchdown, beating the Bears 19-13.
Did it against a good defense. Had a couple splash plays, including the escape and a bullet down the sidelines to Nico Collins. Yeah, I like these a lot better. I wasn't there with you on Baker. I understand why. But, yeah, man, it was like an option quarterback. He threw it 18 times. But, yeah, CJ, I think we forget he's only in his second year.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part.
David, anything?
No.
He don't like Stroud. He ain't going to say a nice thing about it.
I do like Stroud. I'm good so far.
Okay. Liar.
Number 6, it's another quarterback I think got robbed. Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, 23 of 36, 258 yards, two touchdowns, and a loss to the Chiefs, 26-25.
I got to knock him for that fumble. I got to knock him for that. It was the difference in the game. I mean, that's a fumble 6. It's an innocuous play. There's no reason to fumble that football. That bothers me. He played well, and you're right, no Higgins. Chase has barely got his feet under him. They got a kid from Princeton as their third wide receiver. Yes,
looked like they had the game locked away, 4th and 16, yeah. Knocked it away. Wait, flag.
That fumble was brutal. Go ahead.
Number 5 will be Derek Carr. 11 of 16, 243 yards, two touchdowns, one interception in the rout of the Cowboys, 44-19.
It's amazing they only threw the ball the 16 times because they got up by so much. They did it so early. First two passes of the game felt like they were both 60-yard touchdowns, the Shaheed and might have been Olave. It's just, yeah, man. Like, if the game were closer, he would have thrown 500 yards.
Right. They basically just almost got bored, took the foot off the gas, and said, we've done enough. I mean, the fact that they're scoring on every drive to start the season is incredible. I know it won't last, but jeez.
And I think that's why I would have him higher, because it's just they're just so efficient right now. And it's because of what he's doing with that offense. I would have him higher. I would.
Okay. All right. At number four, Sam Darnold, Minnesota Vikings. 17 of 26, 268 yards, two touchdowns, one interception in the upset victory over the 49ers.
It just, it really, now more than ever, has convinced me with some of these quarterback gurus. And whether it was Dave Canales with Baker, whether it's Kevin O'Connell here with Darnold, pick a guy. These QB gurus, their ability to identify guys off the scrap heap and have them produce. Sam Darnold's playing better football now than he's played in his entire 5-6 year NFL career. It's unbelievable. And you're right. He was facing a Niners defense. I hate Sam Darnold, but I'll allow it.
I mean, the 97-yard touchdown pass to Jefferson was, I mean, it was like they drew it up on the playground. Just said, go deep, go past the safeties. I will get the ball to you. Catches him in stride, and then he just jukes out the safety and runs it all the way in. Looking like the game was, they were going to get pinned in, and instead, 97-yard touchdown. Number three, we go to Monday nights. Primetime Kirk Cousins.
That last drive. That are, if you have a game-winning drive in the NFL, you're pretty much guaranteed to be one of the top three or four guys of the week, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he made it look easy.
He did, and that was just it. 20 of 29, 241 yards, two touchdowns in the 22-21 victory Monday night over the Eagles. Just went down like a surgeon on the final drive, threw the ball to his receivers, and then they went out of bounds. Not necessarily over the middle of the field, like we saw another quarterback do here in Detroit. He used the sideline to his advantage. They score, almost scored too early, I thought. I thought maybe you want to keep some of those guys in play, run it down about 30 seconds, and then get that final shot in. But Kirk Cousins at number three.
Yeah, that drive not just saved the game, it saved probably their playoff chances. We all know what the 0-2 percentage is.
Especially with the Saints looking good, the Bucs looking good, that division does not look like the patsy we thought it was going to be. The Panthers.
If it wasn't for the Panthers, you could almost say that may be the toughest division in football, at least right now. You guys want to take a guess who number two is?
Patrick Mahomes.
It can't be Mahomes. Mahomes didn't have one of the top 10 performances of the week.
I will tell you this. Mahomes is not in the top 10 list.
Good. Now I respect this list. Yes. He didn't deserve it.
Yes.
At number two, he was 33 of 44, 327 yards, and a touchdown in a win over New England, 23-20.
Geno
Smith.
All right. I know this is a win for you because you love Geno Smith, and that's fine. What Seattle's doing is wholly unsustainable. That offensive line is Rams bad.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy it now.
Right.
And we can put Geno's plaque on the wall, and I won't slander him because this is your boy.
No. What is this? This is a week-to-week honor.
I know.
That's all.
Enjoy it.
I got to give the man his flowers because he went out there and he got it done. Because this next guy, he gets slandered all the time. At number one, and he will be facing the Detroit Lions this weekend, Kyler Murray, Arizona Cardinals, 17 of 21, 266 yards, three touchdowns, and he also rushed for 59 yards in their win over the Rams.
I want to believe so badly he's figured it out, that he stopped being a jerk. We're not hearing about video games and attitude and playbooks and mandatory study hall. He's just playing. And they didn't lose the game against Buffalo because of him.
No.
They lost because Josh Allen went Superman.
Right.
They beat the Rams. And look, man, that offense, it is a real problem. So Lions have their work cut out for them in the first. Now, second half, something happens here.
Fourth quarter, they go brain dead. And it was funny, Mike, because I'm watching the game. And the whole time I'm thinking, I should probably bet the Rams money line. I should bet. But gladly I didn't. They finish, and that what was impressive to me is, yeah, the Cardinals don't know how to keep a lead, and the fact that, you know, him coming out the week before kind of saying, well, you know, Marvin Harrison, if he gets the ball, he gets the ball. If not, you know,
and
oh,
he
well.
Got the ball.
And it was almost like a point of emphasis, kind of like I think LaPorta will be.
They have weapons. I mean, Trey McBride, Dortch, they got Marvin, they've got Michael Wilson, and yeah. James Conner.
I know he's
29, but still effective. The offense is entertaining, and Kyler seems to be with it this year. So, he's not all hopped up on G Fuel.
So, did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
No, I think that was good this week. I like it.
And you did not force me to erupt by putting Lamar on the list. So we're good.
Honorable I'm glad mention. Mahomes isn't on the list.
Mahomes had according to this, now he wasn't even on. Daniel Jones would have been higher than Patrick Mahomes, just so you know.
You just warmed Big G's heart.
All right. That's your week 2 quarterback top 10 in the NFL, 97.1.